And you know, you might ask the question, you know, why is it that he would even need to talk about being persistent in prayer? And I'm not too sure back then, but today we need to hear about persistence in prayer.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us for the first half of Persistence in Prayer. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Persistence in Prayer.
And we've been looking at Jesus Christ. As it was said earlier, we started the journey by talking about the commitment to prayer. And we looked at the prayer life of Jesus and showed how that not only the Son of God, but God the Son was committed to prayer. And, you know, he didn't have to pray. He was with God from all eternity, but he came to this earth. He was dependent on his Father and he prayed. And he showed us his commitment to prayer. Then last week, we looked at the model prayer, and we said that that was God again when he was asked to teach his disciples how to pray, that God said, this is what you pray. And so we looked at the model prayer last week. Today, we are looking at persistence in prayer. We've had the two scriptures that were read before us today, and we're looking at this whole idea of persistence in prayer. And so the title of my message today is this: the kind of pest that God loves. The kind of pest that God loves is the one who persists in prayer. Where you have lifted up your needs to the Father, and you continue to bombard the gates of heaven with your request. Persistence in prayer, the kind of pest that God loves. What is the meaning of pester? What is the meaning of pester? Pester means to trouble or annoy someone with frequent or persistent requests or interruptions. We've all had it happen to us, those of us who have raised children. And if you've gone on a long trip, they've asked the question 10 minutes into the trip, are we there yet? A half hour later, are we there yet? An hour later, are we there yet? And so they have a knack of continuing to persist in asking the question. So our children can become a pest by asking that question. But God does not look at us as pests when we come to him. There is a phenomenon, and I don't know if you've ever heard of it before, but I'm sure you've experienced it. It's called pester power. Pester power. Let me define what pester power is. It's the nag factor, known as the phenomenon in the U.S. literature, is the tendency of children who are bombarded with marketers' messages to unrelentingly request advertised items. The phrase is used to describe the negative connotations of children's influence in their parents' buying habits. Right? You all seen it. I know it didn't happen to any of y'all, because when you raised your children, you know, they were obedient children that, you know, when you went to the store, you told them, don't ask for anything. Don't ask for anything. And they obeyed you, right? Well, somebody said, okay, all right. But just think of the power that the media puts on children to want a certain thing, and then they pester their parents until their parents actually end up buying it. When you go to the store, can I have this? No. 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 Can I have this? Okay, here, go. Come on, go ahead and get it. Pester power. How powerful a phenomenon that is, even in our culture. And we can come to God. And again, it's not that we are pestering God until he does what we ask him to do. That's not the question. But the idea is that we have to have the same tenacity. We have to have the same gumption that child has, that when we go to the throne of God, that we will persist in prayer. Again, it's not you're not going to wear God down. I'm going to share with you a little bit later in this message that God loves to hear your voice. He wants to hear your voice. Right? And so when you come to him with prayer requests, it's not pestering to twist God's arm to make him do something for you, but you come in consistency. You come in confidence in bringing your prayer requests before God. We see in the scriptures that were read before us today, there are two examples of, in the scripture, of pests. The first one we find is in Luke chapter 11, and in Luke chapter 11, verse 5, we read about the first pest. It says, "And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. And a friend of mine is on his journey, and come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of importunity, because he consistent, because he shamelessly consistent, he will rise and give him as much as he needs." We see the friend who was a pest. Then there's a widow who was a pest in Luke 18 verses 1-5. Jesus spoke a parable unto them to this end, that men ought to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in the city a judge who feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while. But after a while, he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard men, because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming, she wears me out. So we see here, two pests in the scripture. And God uses them as examples to us as to how we are to come to him by being persistent in prayer. I've heard people say, just pray something one time. All you got to do is pray it one time, and God heard you the first time you prayed it. You don't have to keep praying it over and over again. But that's not what the book says. The book don't say that. The book says, and we're going to look at this a little bit in a second, keep on asking, keep on seeking, and keep on knocking. And so we walk away from this, not that we come and, yeah, God knows it after the first time you pray it, but God wants you to continue to lift your request up before him. We're going to look specifically today at the friend who was a pest in Luke chapter 11. Now, in Luke chapter 11, if you can go back to the previous slide, in Luke chapter 11, we see Jesus teaches on persistence in prayer. In Luke 11, 1, his disciples came unto him and asked him, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. Oh man, this is, again, this blew my mind last week, and it's continuing to blow my mind this week. And that is, when they ask God, because Jesus is God, when they ask God, teach us how we need to direct, how we need to construct, how we need to come before the Father with our prayers. This is what God said. And so we see here is another version of the model prayer that he gave the disciples, but was all based upon them asking him, God, teach us how to pray. And so in verses 2-4, he gives them the model prayer. And he said unto them, when you pray, say, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, forgive us our sins, as we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So here we have another account of the Lord's or the disciples' prayer. And so Jesus jumps right off of that and piggybacks by giving a parable. Right? He just has given them the model prayer, and then he piggybacks right on the back of it by talking about what? Persistence in prayer. There's a lot of directions that he could have went after that. He could have been talking about commitment to prayer. He could have been talking about weariness in prayer. He could have talked about all these other aspects of prayer. But after he gives the model prayer, he goes into a parable on persistence. And, you know, you might ask the question, you know, why is it that he would even need to talk about being persistent in prayer? And I'm not too sure back then, but today we need to hear about persistence in prayer. Because I read this, I was reading a sermon on perseverance in prayer by a preacher by the name of Alan Perkins. Let me just share with you some of the things that he said. He said, you and I live in an era of unprecedented speed. Technology, the pace of change is almost incomprehensible. The rule of thumb called Moore's Law states that the speed of the computer chip doubles every 18 to 24 months. He went on to say that even our daily activities, which used to take days or weeks, we now expect to happen instantly. Federal Express delivers packages overnight. Lens crafters can make eyeglasses in an hour. At Walgreens, you can get film developed in an hour. Applying for a loan, which used to take several days, now the banks can approve you within 30 minutes. It's difficult to identify an area of our life that hasn't been accelerated. Microwaves, ATM machines, email, online trading. We've grown intolerant of any kind of delay. We expect to get what we want when we want it. I want it now, now, now. Faster, faster, faster. Hey, have you tried to use a rotary phone lately? Just think, if you tried to use a rotary phone, right, you probably get frustrated when some of y'all don't even know what a rotary phone is, right? That's back in the old day. Now, you know what, if I want to call my wife, I just say, call Angie Glaze, right? and it dials her. You know, if somebody whose number I have programmed, I might have to go look it up, and then I just touch it and it dials. Look at this. Very seldom do many of us, I'm not going to say all of us, touch even the numbers, the dollar number, right? You could probably go through days talking to people all day long and you didn't dial that number one time. Why? Because we want it and we want it now. So going back to the rotary phone, right, that's when you had to stick your number in the little hole for the number, and then you pull it all the way around to the bottom. Then you took out your hand and you let it go, and it went all the way back around. And that was just that was just one number. So I can see some of y'all today, right? Dialing. Come on, hurry up. Come on, get back to the front so I can dial the next number. So we want stuff. We want it now. And so that becomes even more important why Jesus would have to even teach on being persistent, because we give up. We don't want to persevere. Now, he concludes this by saying, how about this one? The smallest interval of time scientists have so far identified. No, it's not the millisecond or the nanosecond. It's the honk a second. And that is the amount of time between when the light turns green and the driver behind you honks his horn. The honk a second. So why does Jesus have to even give us a parable on persistence? Because we are an impatient people. We don't want to persevere. We don't want to continue to stick with the stuff and stay by the stuff until we see our prayer answered. Jesus opens up this passage with a question. And the question that he asks is, which of you that has a friend who shall come at midnight and say unto him, lend me 3 loaves? For a friend is come on a journey and I have nothing to set before him. Now, the question that he's asking back in this culture would have an obvious no, that, you know, would the friend deny him? No, the question, the answer is no. That it was basic in the culture that if somebody came by, that you had to take care of them. And so in this passage, I want to show you 3 segments very quickly. Segment number 1 is coming to the friend at night. And we just read that if you have a friend that comes at midnight and asks for three loaves, you know, then because he has nothing to set before his visitor. Now, many times in Jesus' day, especially in this region of the country, people traveled at night. And the reason they traveled at night, because it was too hot to travel during the day. I remember when I went to Israel and we went to the Dead Sea and we went up to Masada and we rode by En Gedi. We didn't get a chance to see En Gedi, but we rode by En Gedi. And those things were right in the middle of the desert. And the day, and we were there around 11 o'clock and it was 104 degrees. At 11 o'clock in the morning. So it just got hotter during the day. So a lot of people traveled at night because it was too hot to travel during the day. Now, when somebody came, you might ask the question, why did he ask for bread? How come he didn't ask for, you know, some meat and some other things? Well, you remember when Jesus was having the last meal with the disciples and it said that he dipped the sop. Well, what the sop was bread. And the bread was essential to the meal. And so Jesus would, they obviously had different types of soups and other things that required bread to dip into, and then you would eat it. And, you know, some of y'all taking you back to the day, right? You know what sop is, right? Y'all used to sop it up, right? And so the bread was the guy might have had, he might have had other things to be able to feed this guy, but the bread was essential. And so he had to go get some bread so that they could eat the sop. And if he said, well, I don't have any sop, you know, and so that therefore the meal would not be complete, and the guy might move on to the next house, and it would be a shame, you know, for him to have this guest come by and not be able to take care of his physical needs. So that's segment one. Then we move on to segment two, which is the refusal to meet the request. In verse 7, and he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. And so the man said, look, you know, we are all settled for the evening. You know how it is that when you go to bed and you get the cover just right, right? You get the right position in the bed. You know where that is, and you get that cover just right. And, man, you ready to go call some hogs, man, right? And somebody does something. You got to get up. You know how frustrating that is, man. I found my spot. You know, I got to take my cover off. I got to put my robe on. I got to put my slippers on and get up. Look, man, we already in bed. Why are you going to bother me? And that moves us to segment three. And segment three is persistence. And this is the point that Jesus was making, that persistence pays off. Verse 8, I say unto you, though he will not rise, this man wasn't getting up, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. Look, he wasn't going to get up because he was a friend, but he was getting up because of importunity. Let me break down this word importunity for you. Let me break down this word. Very interesting word. And you might not catch this in the English, but it comes out, it screams out at you in the Greek. Yet because of importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. Importunity, it comes from this Greek word, anadia. And this is what it means. A sense of shame. A sense of shame. The guests, look at this. And if you go back and you study people who write on Middle Eastern culture of this time, they will verify this. And that is, the guest who came to this man's house was a guest of the village, not just this one person. To not provide food would have brought shame for the whole village. The guests would leave not feeling good about the hospitality of the village, right? Or he would move on to the next house. And maybe the guy at the next house would get up and give him bread. And the guy before didn't want to get up and get out of bed and wake his children. It says, but because of his importunity, that the man in the house didn't want to be shamed. He didn't want him to get up the next day. Man, you know we had a guest in the village, right? Well, people came to church the next Sunday. Man, did you hear what so-and-so did? That he had a guest come to his house?
Joining us today on Encouraged in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Persistence in Prayer, you can contact us at encouragedinjesus.org and request Persistence in Prayer. That's encouragedinjesus.org and request Persistence in Prayer from our Lenten series, or call us at 877-831-5060. Keep in mind, the entire series on Lent is available by request. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galaise. Dr. Galaise is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.